Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us His grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of His kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
I found out some times back that there's such a thing called the law of fate. You know, the Bible gives us an expo so that you understand. It will help us understand what I'm about to share. In 2 Timothy 2 and 5. 2 Timothy 2 and 5. It says, "And also if anyone competes in athletics, he's not crowned unless he competes according to the rules." Hallelujah to Jesus. Let's read it in the old KJV rendition. "And if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned, except he what? Strives lawfully." In other words, what entails for victory is not that you were part of the race, but that you did it the right way. You followed the rules and what? The regulations. Take for instance, you are about to run a relay race. Amen? How many of you have ever partook in any relay race before, especially in secondary school? Anybody? How many of you took class? Don't lie. You took class. Okay. Are you all speaking by faith, or you truly? And today, people, what is happening here today? Where are your people? What happened? Are they sleeping? All right, let's continue. So you follow some certain rules, isn't it? If, for instance, you were running, I want you to be alive in church. Why looking down? Okay. Yes. Sounding like there's a problem. Is there a problem? Don't agree. Alright, if you are going to start the race, you have to put your lines first. I remember those days, our PhD teacher will make sure that our legs and our hands are on the line. If you put it in the front, is a problem, right? And if you put it behind, is it also a problem? I didn't really run like that. I used to watch. I'm not sure I ever partook. So if you put it in the front, is a problem, right? If you put it behind, is a problem, right? All right. So it has to be on the line. Then secondly, if they say on your mark, you know, those they will say on your march. But it's on your mark, right? Ochomas. If you agree in the knots, truly, that's how. I don't know if they say it like that. Ochomas, guess it. So your hands and everything has to be on the mark. And they say, get set. I think you now raise your legs small, your knee. Ready, right? And now some use guns, some will say go. Then you begin to run. Now imagine that when they say on your mark, you are not on your mark. They now say, get set. you were not set. They say ready, you were not ready. And they say go, then you are getting set or something. Or when they say on your mark, then you start running. What if you carry first? Did you win? All right, so Paul says, if a man desires mastery yet he is not crowned, it is because the man is not striving how? Lawfully. In the kingdom, you strive lawfully. You don't just strive anyhow. You strive lawfully. That is why what we say, what we believe is the most important in the kingdom. All right? It is the most important. Prayer is very important to facilitate any revelation to becoming a reality. But what if the revelation is wrong? Then the facilitator has, you know, no matter how you facilitate, it will not end in anything. Are people getting what I'm trying to say? And that's why people pray amiss. That's why people believe amiss. They pray and see nothing. They believe and see nothing because they are not striving how? Lawfully. The way it's supposed to be. For instance, Jesus has done it. If you are thinking Jesus should do it now, it's a problem. All right? Take, for instance, the Bible says in the book of Romans 12 and 3. Let's see it. Romans 12 and 3. For I say, through the grace given to me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God had dealt to every man the measure of faith. Everybody say the measure of faith. Firstly, I've made you to understand why the idea of what we're trying to reveal to you tonight, how that even though you are in faith, if you claim you are in faith and you are not striving lawfully, you are not in this faith lawfully, it will not work. So I use the words of Paul to explain that, where he said, if a man desires mastery, yet not crown, it is because the man is not striving how? Lawfully. Are we together? And here, Apostle Paul is making us understand that we have all received the measure of faith. The measure of faith. Other renditions will say something like, a measure of faith, which paints a very wrong picture. Especially like Andrew Womack would jokingly say most times, the nearly inspired version, which is the NIV. Can we see this in the NIV? All right. I've never seen this rendition before because I've never read it in this rendition. But it doesn't look so bad. Amen? The reason why some of us neglect the NIV is because there are some omissions, some little omissions that we consider very important. All right, so, and that's why I believe Pastor Andrew Womack always jokes with it, calling it the nearly inspired version. All right, go back to the KJV. It says, we all have received the measure of faith. The measure of faith. All right, now. Think about all the great things men of God did, especially in the New Testament. And I'll start with Apostle Paul. Ephesians 19:11. The church in Ephesus in Acts 19:11. Sorry, Acts 19:11. You can put it for me in the NKJV, so that we. It says, now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul the apostle. Next part of scripture. So that even what? Handkerchiefs or what? Were brought from his body to the sick. And the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. I mean, Paul was in such an intense, you know, I wanted to call it state. No, not state of the anointing. Before, it paints a picture like we can be in the state and not be in the state sometimes. You know, Paul was in a certain place, in a certain meeting, and people observed how the grace of God was at work in him, and they were taking handkerchiefs from him. In fact, some were, you know, putting handkerchiefs on him and touching people, and things were happening. According to the Bible, isn't it? so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body. And how I knew that was it was because Paul cannot have more than one handkerchief. Let's say if he has so much, two. But the Bible says handkerchiefs as if he was selling handkerchiefs. It simply means the people were putting the handkerchiefs. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? When they noticed what was happening with Apostle Paul, they started doing all of those stuff. You know, but observe, Paul didn't change it, make it a doctrine. After that, Paul did not do another one. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? So that it doesn't become a doctrine in the church. Because it would have been dangerous. Get this. And this is no disrespect to anybody practicing these kind of things. You know, you go to certain churches, you see people use handkerchiefs as mantles and etc. We're not trying to disrespect them, but of course it is wrong. These are traditions of men. Alright? There's what we call impartation of the Spirit. You see, as long as you are anointed, anything from your hand can demonstrate the power of the Holy Spirit. Except you are not conscious of the anointing. Alright, that's why it's a joke to say they use your clothes to go and do Yahoo or your inner wears. I told you a story on campus. I dried my clothes, the inside clothes at the back of my house, and some folks took it away. They were stealing clothes that season. And they took my inside clothes. And when people were looking for their clothes, I said mine too was missing. I was even ashamed to say. I just called one brother. I said, they took my inside clothes. So, and I said, prophet, you have to start prayer, fasting. You know, that time the wave of Yahoo just started rising. They will use it for money. I said, hey, how would it happen? He said, you'll just go and put it and you'll just be vomiting money. I said, woo. God have mercy. I told them, I said, will it not be nice that I'm in the room and I'm vomiting money from my mouth? I was just saying, 20,000. You just come out. I'll buy food and eat. 20,000. So I joked. I laughed about it. Why was it so unserious to me? Because, you know, there's no way you understand the power of God and take that thing to be serious. Paul said, let's speak to them that have knowledge. He said, fools, men for idols. Are they not supposed to be eaten by us? He's speaking to them that what? Have knowledge. Meaning, when you understand God enough, if they say things like that, it will be like a joke. And so people will think you are disrespecting their faith. But no, you are not. The Bible says, they that know their God, they shall be what? You are strong in your heart. And they will do exploit. So I wasn't trying to joke with them. I wasn't proud. It was because I understood that was impossible. In fact, having read such a scripture in Ephesians, how that handkerchiefs were brought from Paul's body and aprons, and by then people were getting sick and others were getting delivered of demons. You know, I can't read this part of scripture and say, you demon, where is your village from? Where did you come from? Who sent you? Blah, 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 blah. I can't do that because Paul's apron, my God. Are you people here tonight? He threw it on somebody and the demon checked out. No question. I mean, aprons cannot be as anointed as men of God. Do you understand? All right, who was what? Sinking into a sleep. I hope you know what was happening here. Let's see verse 8 if it paints that picture. Verse 8. Verse 5. I just wanted to know what was happening here. Some of you that used to say time, pastor, time. This man going ahead waited for us that... All right, next part of scripture. I don't know if I'll... But we stayed away from Philippi after the days of what? And in 5 days, joined them at what? Where we stayed, how many days? My God. 7 days. What was happening here in 7 days? The word was being taught. We want the church of the book of Acts. Can you become Christians of the book of Acts? All right, we want to change this thing now to a 7 days crusade. How many of you will stay for 2 days? And we're not trying to say you will not be powerful. Don't worry. Let's keep on reading. Next part of scripture. Now, on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. Next part of scripture. There were many lamps in the upper room, meaning they were prepared. Paul told them to go and look for light. Come, this thing will not end now. Imagine I tell Technica, go and buy 50,000 naira fuel. You know you are finished. Because they will fool the tank and they will keep some. And if you are coming to service, you see what is happening. You say, why are you buying fuel this way? I say, prophet said we should just buy plenty fuel. You will not check your schedule, your time, check your schedule. Say, I don't think this meeting is my meeting. I'm going back. Because you know we'll stay till midnight. Paul said, go and look for lambs. Lambs, just be bringing lambs. Borrow from neighbors. You know? Where there, you know, there were many lambs in the upper room where they were gathered together. Next part of scripture. And in a window sat a certain young man named, who was sinking into a deep sleep. We have those kind of people in this church. Oh. You people know them in your heart, but let me not disgrace. Let me not say you should mention. There are some that even if you lay hands on them, when you lay hands, they just go. They love to sleep. See your brother, see what happened to him. Thank God you are not in the upper room. Who was sinking into a deep sleep? That means when you are sleeping, you are sinking. In the rivers of the devil. He was overcome by the sleep. My God. Somebody shouting, I'm more than a victor. Sleep. The Bible says if you sleep, they overcome you. Satan has overcome you. And as Paul continued speaking, he fell down from the third story and was taken up there. In fact, the Bible says if you break the word, the serpent will what? He was sleeping, that's why he died. You see that? Don't sleep, oh. You know, some prophet now can tell you, don't sleep or you die. Next part of scripture. I mean, he died. Some people will say, Satan has planned this meeting. Blah, blah, blah. Mm-mm. But Paul went down, fell on him, embracing him, said, do not trouble yourself, for his life is in him. My God. My God. Somebody say, my God. Ayagaba. You know, some of you that don't want to go far, you don't like scriptures like this. It doesn't move you. How did this part of the Bible not move you? You don't want to bring the dead back to life? Look, it's so ordinary. If we start talking about money coming to you now, start saying, hey, amen. It's not when you are alive, you enjoy the money. You should trust God for the anointing. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Scriptures like this should move you, and I'll show you why. Now, that's another wonderful miracle. Next part of scripture. Now, when he had come up, had broken bread and eaten, and talked a long while, even till daybreak, he did not close the meeting. He departed. They carried the man, kept on his seat, and church continued. You know, something beautiful is here. He didn't even move the people so much. I mean, they sat down and continued preaching. The word was more important, even though there was a miracle. Are you people seeing something there? They sat down and continued teaching the word. There's another miracle. Acts 14:8. I'll just show you a few of them. Acts 14 from verse 8 to 10. And in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. Next part of scripture. This man heard Paul speaking. Paul observing him intently. Firstly, he heard Paul speaking. I like this one because it helps me to explain listening to the word even in church. He heard Paul speaking. Paul, while he was teaching, was observing the man intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed. As I'm talking now, I know that are those that want to receive. You can't want to receive and you're like, you can receive. That's why sometimes when we say come forward, we don't lay hands on other people. You see, us before we lay hands on you, you can't start the show because you will not be filled with the Spirit. You can't be like this. You see the man will go past you like 20 times. You first go to the one that is praying to receive. And you lay hands, you see the person of the power of God. Is it because the person is open to receive? But you, that you are like this. You see, that it's when they are finished laying hands on everybody, and I say, all right, everybody go to your seat, go to your seat. See? Because that brother is not ready to receive. So Paul observed closely that this crippled man, as he's teaching, you know, men of God, this paints a picture. If men of God see people in congregation that are not well, their heart is there from the beginning of the service. You see them teaching, they'll be observing the person. So Paul too was observing. When Paul saw that this guy can receive now, he moved. He said, come. Are we together? Seeing that he had faith to be healed, had this seed from his countenance. You see, sometimes you're teaching the word of God, you see somebody pray in the spirit. You know that person is receiving something mightily. A lot of times God speaks to them, especially in the meeting. But you see somebody, they're teaching the word, you just sit down. In fact, some will now cross their leg. You know, I called one guy one time on a Sunday. It was not one guy, it was my in-law self, Titi. I was teaching and I saw he crossed his leg and was like this. I said, come. You remember that Sunday? I said, I'm teaching you across your leg. I said, do you know what we're doing here? Hallelujah to Jesus. Next part of scripture. He had faith to be healed. Paul observed that. And he said with a loud voice, stand up straight on your feet. And he leaped high and walked. See, the Bible says he was born like that from his mother's womb. Go to verse 8 again. See that situation. It was a very severe situation. In Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a crippled from his mother's womb, who had never walked. Paul did not consider the situation. As long as the guy had feet, new legs will enter. My God. Now, if there are no bones there, they will appear. Oh, Jesus Christ. Are you here? Yeah. Whoosh, 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 whoosh. Glory to God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Whew. Let me show you one, even though it's not, you know, but it's okay. Some Christians who have strong heart will like it. Acts 13:9. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him. Let's see from verse 8, so that you understand where we're coming from. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so his name is translated, withstood them, seeking to turn the word. I mean, something happened here. Can we go to 7? Let me just. Alright, so remember, see now, this the second part of this part of scripture says, this man called for what? Barnabas and Paul, right? And sought to hear the word of the Lord. Next part of scripture, but what? Elymas, the sorcerer, withstood them, seeking to turn the word, the person who won't. You know, there are people like that, right? Huh? One time I was talking to School of Glory that they say almost all of them, somebody has stopped them from coming to church. Those guys are witches and wizards. Even though they are born again, if they claim so. And I was like, what the heck is happening? I mean, I was more strengthened that I'm great. And I'm supposed to do a great thing in this city. That all my students were withstood to stop coming to church. You know, one time we had a sister who was confronted by some so-called spiritual leaders not to come to this church. And she's related to Mama T. And that she even had something, an opportunity to see the governor at that time in the government house. And they said they would not grant her that invitation if she steps her leg in this church. Now, it was that serious. So she came and reported that she can't be captured on pictures because they promised not to blah, blah. And after the service, she just ran away. And the report got to me. I was wondering, what is really happening? It is a devil. Like this guy now, who is a sorcerer. He didn't know that it was Satan. Of course, he should understand he's a sorcerer. But it is his name that translates as a sorcerer. You know, it's just like in TV here that somebody's name is Benson Sav. You know what Sav means? Witch, wizard. And you are surprised he's acting like a wizard. His name translated as a sorcerer. The Bible didn't tell us if he's a sorcerer, but the name translate, the translation of the name is that he's a sorcerer. He withstood them seeking to turn the what? Proconsul away from the faith. The guy was ready to hear. You know, the Bible said there's an effectual door that has been opened to us, but there are what? Many adversaries. He was ready to hear. Hallelujah to Jesus. And that wizard. Next part of scripture. Then Paul couldn't take it. Then Saul, who is called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Ghost, looked intently at him. That same look that healed somebody. My God. See what the look did now. Next part of scripture. And said, "Oh, full of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of righteousness, all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord?" It was a question first. Next part of scripture. "And now indeed the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time. And immediately a dark mist fell on him, and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand." See, Christians, I know you will like this thing. But you see, why God will not allow this to happen for some of you is because you'll be suspecting people and be blinding them. So he will not allow all of you to walk in this anointing. Instant blindness. All right, how about Acts 28:3? "But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand." You know why I like this part of scripture? The viper did not come out because of the devil. It came out because of the heat. You know, it paints a picture that when heat starts like this, you know, snakes used to come out. So it paints a picture that, yeah, even though sometimes natural things happen, we shouldn't take them. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Alright? I don't know if you caught what I just said. By that I mean you were just sitting somewhere and scorpion just passed and sting you. And of course we know it's because that place should have scorpions around. But that doesn't mean you should die. Because malaria beat you, you have plasmodium because of female anopheles, mosquito, whatsoever, and your room was not, or you are in BSU. I don't know if BSU, I heard they are fleeting BSU now. Those days when BSU was BSU, do you get what I'm trying to say? Where mosquitoes, you have your favorite, you have your mosquito pet. It knows you know the mosquito. You just enter the class, you hear, whew, say, whew, whew, whew. Mosquitoes are everywhere. A mosquito will beat you. Then should you die? Huh? I hope you get what I'm trying to paint. That the heat was the reason why the serpent came out and, you know, beat Paul and fastened on his hand. Pew! Python. Next part of scripture. Now, as I'm talking now, if you don't have a strong book with the Holy Ghost, now you sabi. So when the native saw the creature hanging from his hand, it was still on his hand. That snake was a sent one. They said to one another, "No doubt, this man is a murderer, whom though he has escaped the sea, yet justice does not allow to live." Meaning it was God that was punishing Paul. Actually, the revelations are atrocities. He has been seen, and of course, he had killed some Christians before. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That was not all. After you were murdering Christians, you now came with one kind of wave of revelation that Christians have never heard before. So everybody is suspecting Paul. What kind of a guy is this? According to history, the 12 didn't want him. Only Peter gave him the right hand of fellowship. And that's why in 2 Peter 3, he was advising us that we should receive the ministry of Paul. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Even though his revelations are ambiguous to understand. He said, for some people have, you know, taken the revelation out of context and they've brought destruction to themselves. We're talking about the people today. We can trace those people today. The people that say, whatever I do in the flesh does not matter. Do you know what that does to the gospel? It waters down the gospel. Those doctrines are called doctrines of demons and devils. The facilitators are devils and demons. When you say them and Christians are standing on them thinking it is Christ, meanwhile it is actually sinking sand. They are faced with situation and instead of overcoming it, they allow the situation to swallow them up. A sister is disturbing you, instead of you to, you know that you can resist the devil and he will flee from you, you just feel like, well, if you fall now, there's still hope. Jesus has done it. I tell you, this has made a lot of people's work with God to be neutralized, I should say. Are we together? That's watered down many people's work with the Holy Spirit. We don't have strong Christians again. If you go to places where they hear things like that, they are failing every time. No true Christian would take them serious. And I tell you the truth, when you watch them carefully, they can't walk in the power of the Holy Ghost. That's why some places you go to talk all the rubbish you want to talk. Then you go to somebody who is still believing on the mantle of Elijah, but is bringing somebody back to life. He will not even look at you as anything. But what if your words and the miracles align? The revelations are sound. And they are seeing a demonstration of the Spirit. Perhaps that person who is seeing the wrong thing, but yet seeing the power of God, can have a changed mind. Because the Bible said, it said, although the ministry of Moses was a ministry of condemnation, it said they still saw glory. It said if the ministry of condemnation had glory, that means it is possible to be doing something, to be practicing a wrong doctrine, let me put it like that, and yet see the power of God. But if you observe the difference between the ministry of condemnation that Moses, you know, was more like the source, and what these guys are doing today in the name of hyper grace or whatsoever they call it, are we together? The difference is that there was nothing about immorality and sin. But for this, there's sin and immorality. It was more like what Paul said in Romans 10. He said, my heart desire and prayer for Israel is that they be saved. He said, for I bear witness in verse 2 that they have a desire for God, but not according to knowledge. So you see, there's nothing about sin there. It's just that they are misunderstanding righteousness. And eventually they may sin. But they are very conscious of not wanting to sin. And I'm not saying that's a good thing. That's sin consciousness. It's not still right. But they are better than these people saying that whatever I do in the flesh does not matter. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? So you see, those doctrines are called what? Doctrines of devils. Either of them are not right. But of course, if you look at the two, the one that will make heaven is the one in the first one self. At least you will make heaven. These other people, you know, it will shock them. I was talking to some friends somewhere. They were believing these kind of things. And I said to them, as long as it is God, they cannot be seen around. As long as we are talking about God, there is nothing about sin. God does not welcome any out of sin. He came to save the people from what? Their sin. I don't even need to even vet anything. As long as the doctrine permits sin, it's not from God. As long as the doctrines welcome sin and sustain sin, it's not from God. And unknown to them, it is sustaining sin. Because as long as you think that God cannot, you know, no matter what you do, blah, 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 you're going to make it to heaven, it's a lie. Paul said something in scripture. He said, I don't want to be like someone who is probably more like tossing the wind. that after I've labored and taught the gospel, I myself will now become a castaway. If Paul was sure that he can do anything and still go to heaven, why will he say such a thing? And listen, we are not arguing. If you don't believe it, you can hold on to what you believe. Are we together? Alright, so they felt like Paul was being punished for his sin. Next part of scripture. And this is where the Pharisees, these guys too can be very wicked. You know, if you believe in the first order, the ministry of condemnation, that's why it's even called the ministry of condemnation. This spirit, holiness, spirit, coco people. You know, in Lagos, there was a church I was attending that it was men that were vetting the dress of ladies, men. They would take some sisters out and say, your dress is not okay. So I was about to enter the church in a job barracks. And I asked them, why are you people doing like this? They say the lady's calls is showing. I said, dear Jesus. So leave her in church, let her hear the word and be changed. They said, no, no. And now, it's not like, it's even the barracks. A lady cannot dress and reveal her body, even in the barrack environment. It's not possible. You know, some of you think barrack boys are very stupid human beings and girls. But there's all that. There's a way you will dress in the barrack, they'll push you. So it was not as bad as they were imagining. But you see, for the fact that the lady was just looking, you know, they just felt like it was wrong. That she should go and wear a gown that would not show her curves. And I began to laugh. I couldn't stop laughing. I entered inside. I told them, I said, you guys should be serious. Allow these ladies to go and hear the word. And when I entered inside and sat, I knew why they wouldn't want such ladies to be inside. So, you see, they are more like Pharisees, so far to see. Sadducees, too sad to see. Anarchists. Pharisees, Sadducees, so religious. Paul said, they being ignorant of God's righteousness, have created for themselves another word, righteousness. Yet Paul was praying in verse 1 of Romans 10 that they be saved. You know, you can be so religious that you don't know and you wouldn't know Jesus. Because if Jesus is added in that content, you will not be religious. The closest people we can use to explain this are the Israelites. I just saw a bill today they were trying to pass in their house of assembly that they don't want Christians to preach the gospel, else you'll be in prison for 2 years. Yes. Yet you see them wear all those robes like Moses. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? But their greatest threat is Jesus. They don't want to even hear his name. So they are religious. It is possible if you see religious people, they don't know Jesus. And anytime I talk about this story and the problem with Israel, I get offended because I wonder why preachers will not, you know, young preachers like me especially, will not see the need for sound doctrine in the body of Christ more than any other thing. Because the Bible speaks about the yeast of the Pharisees. It was one single lie that made Israel the kind of nation they are today. One lie that made them to turn away from God. You know, they have a lot of blessings that is keeping them today. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? They believe in God, but they don't believe in Jesus. Is that not funny? And what was the lie? One of the elders, the Pharisees, said to the soldier, take this amount of money. Tell them that the body of Jesus was stolen. Do you know that's what they believe Jesus is a scammer? One small lie. So don't worry, it's just a minor doctrine. It will not really affect people. It will. Are you listening to me? Samson, God bless his soul, wherever he is, even though I'm not glad that Delilah dealt with him. But God bless his soul. You know, one time he was fighting the Philistines. The anointing came upon him. Are we together? As the anointing came upon him, he took a jaw of a donkey. And by that jaw of a donkey, he killed how many people? 1,000 Philistines and more. The Bible says when he was done, what did he do? He threw the jaw of the donkey away and went home. He didn't celebrate the jaw of the donkey. He celebrated the spirit that came upon him. Alright, if Samson took that jaw and entered Israel, One of their problems today will not only be the fact that they said Jesus' body was stolen, but that they like jaws of donkey. That anywhere there are donkeys, they'll be buying it. They'll use it to build their walls. Because they believe it's very, very powerful. It would have become a religion. That's what I'm trying to say. And trust Africans, when people start it, we finish it. There are some people that would have traveled to Israel to get to touch the jaw of the donkey. They'll put it. I know those guys are very crazy people. They'll just go and look for one jaw of a donkey and say, yeah, this is the particular one that Samson. You see, people go there and they'll rub their towel on it and they'll not wash it. You can't tell by smelling. So what's that? It's the jaw of the donkey. What's worrying you, Kata? Come here. Inhale it. Can't you see Africans? We go there sometimes, we park the sand. So what is that? Jerusalem, Sam. No sweep arm if they sweep house. No, they sweep this side. If you sweep my... Which sand do they sweep like that? I hope you're from that side. Hey, my Jerusalem sand, park all those things back. I'm sure some of you have some particles of Jerusalem sand. It's an insult to the new creation if you practice such a thing. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? It's an insult to the finished work of Jesus. And some go and fetch River Jordan water. You know that one, that particular one that Jesus entered, it has flowed. Maybe it's in Kadu, it's in Makodi now in River Benue. Who knows? If your eyes are open, maybe it has reached Makodi now today. Maybe it has entered. That doesn't mean we should go and start diving inside the river. Go and dive now. But there are people who go and fetch it. I told you I was coming from Lagos one time. A woman had a bottle of oil. And the acid, there was a severe... You know, when we started the journey, somebody was talking about accident. He was just talking about, you see, that small bridge around Bini. And when we got, he said, now the bridge with this. As he was talking, I had never seen something like that in my life. A vehicle came behind us and hit us. Boom! In my heart, when he started talking about the accident. Because, you know, when the person finished praying, he said, I like that prayer against accident. That's where this gist started. He spoke about accident till we now finally had accident. And so that woman, with her oil by the side, while people were, the car was going, I tell you, God really helped us that day. You know, the car did not enter. It was, if you see cars around the bridge, that small bridge. Truth is that your faith must be that, like that of a child. I remember I was truly in faith. You know, I just got my laptop for the first time that time. I was so excited I have my new laptop. I'll go to school and start programming and start using it to watch movies sometimes. You know, when you're about to have a new laptop, that excitement. And if you say I heard my laptop in the midst of the accident, I was like, dear Jesus, my laptop. And when the team finished, I remember the woman was like, she was coming. Oh yeah, my anointing. Oh yeah, oh, my man too. Now, of course, I'd always been like that. I said, dear Jesus, the mantle is broken and scattered. And people started laughing. So as I was walking, one guy came to me. He said, why are you so funny? You have been quiet until we had an accident. You are a very funny young man. He said, were you not scared? People are scared. You are cracking joke. I said, yeah, how can we survive an accident? Somebody is crying for a bottle of oil. Then he asked me, why were you not scared? You were holding your back. What's in your back? I said, brother, my new laptop that my dad just got for me. He said, it was laptop you were holding like that? I said, yes. He said, what of your life? I said, my life is the hand of the Creator. You know, we spent the night in a police station because they seized our car. You know, we have wonderful police in this country. When police came, we went around the station to judge. Police now seize our car and say, we'll not go anywhere. And we say, no, we came to report. What a nice driver. He came to report himself. Police seized the car. So we were somewhere in a neat area. I'd never seen anything in my life like that. So we're just joking with the guy till morning and we took off. It was, I think the driver gave, was it 10,000 or something for having an accident? He gave 10,000 before. They are not in the next state to go. Yeah, they are a friend, indeed. You know, sometimes I feel like people who their brain have knocked off is the ones they call to go and do those jobs. How many of you have encountered a policeman by the road before? Jesus Christ. Whew! While I was driving my car from Lagos, when I got my car, if you see the thing I saw on the road, they stopped me somewhere and said I should give 250,000. 250. I said, why? They say you just got a new car. If you don't want problem. You know, they even deceive me. They say, you know, the people with me said, Pastor. So the police officer said, Pastor, why, let's just go to the station. You are a man of God, will not do anything. Do you know it was not the station we went to? We went to one building like that. It's not a station. There was a lady at the back of the building with POS. And they asked me, do you want to leave this place now? He changed the parade for me. I was shocked and impressed at the same time. So I took my phone, I tried making a call. And I said, I know where we are. I just pretended like I knew where we are. I said, where are you? Captain, come very fast. When they heard Captain, they said, who did you call? I said, I just called my father. He's coming very soon. So I put the phone on loudspeaker the second time. My father started shouting, who are those bastards? I said, okay now, I've described the place. They said, okay, give us 50,000. I said, I don't have 50,000. What of 10,000? I said, okay now, no problem. My father knows this place. He will soon be here. And I hear something like Gideon. That is, he has strong head. They say we should drive out fast. We drove out very fast. Hallelujah to Jesus. And I mean, what I was trying to say is that I was just finding it funny that that woman was, you know, crying for her oil. She traveled from wherever she traveled to that church. They blessed the oil and she had carried that oil. She's going to solve all her problems with the oil. And the way God will have it, God now made sure that the oil was broken. Me, I believe that accident was for that woman. I was telling him in my heart that accident alone proved to me that God is the God of the New Testament. Because you see what she did. He wanted her to lose faith in everything but on him. Now there are two things involved. You either go back to that church and get a new bottle of oil. Or go back to where you are. Just continue your journey and trust God that so you see, look at verse. I'm teaching two things. I'm achieving two things at the same time, but we'll keep on moving. Look at verse 1 of Romans 10 again and see something beautiful. It said, my heart desire and prayer to God for what? Israel. Is that they may be saved. They may be saved. Paul knew their problem since. We are seeing it today. Paul knew it since. With their white and hitting their head on the ground, he said they need to be saved. Verse 2, he said, for I bear witness that they have a zeal for God. But the zeal for God is not in accordance to what? Knowledge. You see that? And he said, they being ignorant of God's righteousness have created for themselves another kind of righteousness. Righteousness by works. Dead works in righteousness. Trying to do things to attain God's righteousness. So go back to the story. Let's try to finish up. In the book of Acts. Very fast. But he shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. The snake fastened itself, beat Paul, was on the leg. Yeah. And the Bible said it was still there. Oh, the poison was entering, like 1 gallon of poison. Do you understand? And it didn't matter how many gallons of poison was in the body of Paul. Paul was anointed. Oh my God. I wish you get what I'm trying to say. The blood of Jesus flows through his veins. My God. Do you understand? I think one time Pastor Peter had an experience of scorpion. He called me, he said, sir, you were teaching us about Paul, blah, 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 blah. A scorpion just beat me. And I told my mom, I'm not going to the hospital. He's still alive. I'm sure some of you will be like, ah, did he die? No, see him here. He refused to go to the hospital. You know, I wanted to say, are you still feeling okay? Do you feel any pain? But I said, let me keep quiet and watch this guy's faith first. If not, if I didn't sense it was faith, I would say, my friend, close your mouth and go to the hospital. Some of these things, we don't mean you should just be practicing it anywhere. Don't test God. Do you have hospital? Maybe Paul didn't have hospital. But he was trying to show his faith. And nothing happened to him. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Like, I'm not saying you should go and start looking for scorpion. A snake and say, ah, prophet spoke something today. Where are snakes in this place? Get bite. You are testing God. Thou shalt not test the Lord your God. Like somebody, the lion did not do him anything. There was no King Nebuchadnezzar. No situation like that. Our days are better than the days of Daniel. This guy went and created a situation like Daniel for himself. He said, watch me enter lion's den. Who is pushing you into lion's den? Who conspired against you? Did they say you should come and eat the king's meal? Did they play music and say you should bow your heads down? No situation like that. He just carried your two legs and your head and enter lion's den. Say, lion, come and kill me. Let me see. The lion said, okay, sir. It killed the pastor. The guy is in heaven now. Watching us in the cloud of witnesses. Such a wonderful guy. Now, that's wrong. I saw another situation. There was boat. Oh. There was boat. There was canoe. The guy said he wants to walk on water. I say, what is wrong? And it got drowned. And it died. See boat. See canoe. Choose the one you want. He said, no, Jesus walked on water. The situation. Jesus said, let us go to the other side. We were going, there was no... I mean, they left Jesus already. Do you understand? A few of them had gone and canoe has gone. Jesus said, I'm not seeing canoe here. And he said, okay, I'm going to walk. You are seeing canoe. The first time Jesus wanted to go to the other side, it was not that he wanted to walk on water. He actually wanted to go and enter canoe. A few minutes later, when they brought canoe, did he enter canoe or not? He did not stay like that and cross the river. No, they saw him coming. They now said, Jesus, sorry, we came. He now said, okay, now enter. So they're sleeping, isn't it? I think Jesus liked to trek because he's still trekking. He entered. I'm not sure if it was you that had that opportunity. You'll be trekking like that. I say, can you move? Are you mad? Do you know what is happening here? Jesus entered to paint a picture to us that he actually wanted to use canoe. But the canoe left him. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So don't try some kind of things. It's not necessary. But he shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. Next part of scripture. However, they were expecting that he would swell up or suddenly fall down dead. But after they looked for a long time and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said, he was a god. Enemies now have changed their mind. They will change their mind on your head. I didn't hear an amen there. Now let's talk about Peter and we close. Acts 3:1. I say we close. Some people just I don't like that. Acts 3:1. You got to believe me. Now Peter and John went up together at the hour of prayer and night hour. Next part of scripture very fast. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb again, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who enter the temple. Next part of scripture. You know, the most funny thing here is that it's the temple where God is. But he's begging there rather than getting healed. That's what happens if you are in one of these religious atmosphere. Instead of them getting him healed, they allowed him to stay at the gate. Do you know what I'm trying to explain? And he was begging until people who truly understood Christianity stepped in. You know, the first place Jesus told, and an angel told Peter to go and preach after he left prison was before the temple, Acts 5. He said, go and stand before the temple and preach eternal life. So he's standing before the temple, he's crippled. That's part of scripture. Three. Who seen Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. Next part of scripture. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. Look at us. You want a miracle? Be concentrating on the word. Do you understand? Concentrate as we're talking to you. Next part of scripture. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Yeah, you will truly receive. Next part of scripture. Verse 6. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. My God. Next part of scripture. Glory to God. And he took him by, he didn't even stand up. Peter said, oh yeah, I've said it already, my friend. He took him up. Are you beginning what I'm trying to say? You know, sometimes when you speak, don't leave people, some people are just boom. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Peter said, I've talked something, I want to disgrace. Will you stand up? He took him up by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Jesus Christ. Meaning, if Peter had not acted like that, he would have not received strength. He acted in faith. My friends, stand up. Like when Jesus said, go and fill those gallons with water. It was when they filled and were going to serve that the water, if you observe, the water changed into wine when they were obeying the voice of Jesus. That's why faith without work is dead. If God has said it, start acting on his word. It is acting on God's word that affirms faith. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Peter knew that what he has said is supposed to work. So he took the guy. I said it. Stand up and walk. And all of a sudden, what happened? It was when he raised him up with his right hand that what happened? Strength entered his bones and he began to walk. Next part of scripture. So he, leaping up, stood up and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. Hallelujah. Next part of scripture. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Next part of scripture. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Next part of scripture. I'll end there. Now as the lame man who was healed head on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's. Solomon's, greatly amazed. I'll stop there. Now, I want to tell you another, give you another story. I'm saying all these things to arrive somewhere. Are you enjoying the service? Acts 9:36. Remember the scripture we mentioned? The first one was Romans 12 and 3, isn't it? So when we're done, media just rush back to that scripture for us. All right. And at Joppa, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha. Women too were disciples, right? Which is translated what? Dorcas. This, see Tabitha's name in the Bible. Tabitha, see your name in the Bible. This woman was full of good works and charitable. And charitable deeds, which she did. Next part of scripture. But it happened in those days that she became sick and died. You know, the day I read this part of scripture, I said you can be a good person and still die. There's a difference between being good and being anointed. The two are supposed to work. You know, sometimes some indisciplined people can be anointed. And they can live longer than people who are good. But that's not the balance. The balance is that you should be good and what? Anointed. To be good is not enough. She was a good person. She was giving, you know, money to people. Very nice woman in church. Generous. But she died. This helps me to explain something even deeper. And it's very deep because some people may not really believe it. I was somewhere to pray for somebody. I was there with my wife. And she was pulling on her body. Almost dead. They put pipes, you know. And I said, can I lay my hands on you? Can I pray with you? I will never forget that day in my life. The truth is that I saw that situation. I didn't know how God was going to do it, but I know he will do it. But I don't know. You know when the Bible says we don't know how to pray as we ought to. That was the first day I experienced the manifestation of that scripture. I truly don't know what I'm going to say. I just wanted to lay my hands and just speak in tongues and leave. And when we asked if we can pray, she didn't want it. She said she was already praying at chaplets and stuff like that. And of course, I'm sure he had been a nice woman. And she felt like that would cover. That same day, I think in the night, they called us that she was dead. I got offended. She was just being religious. Hallelujah to Jesus. She thinks, you know, giving alms, doing all of those things, bowing your heads, that makes you anointed. You know, I was teaching somewhere and I told them, you know, they were religious guys, orthodox guys. And I said, hope you know. Seeing their head, I could tell where they came from. And I said to them, hope you know. All right? For instance, there are different kinds of bears on the earth. Isn't it? Huh? There is chicken. Is it chicken they call it? Abi, it's when they are eating it, they call it chicken. There's chicken, sorry. There's fowl. Abi? Yes, there's chicken. There's tolo tolo. What's the English name? Huh? Turkey. Some Idoma people say, yes, say turkey. Turkey. You know, one day I was inquiring as I was saying, Jesus. I say Jesus. I said, Jesus. I just knew the Gala people were there. I had to go and say, it's not Jesus. It's Jesus. All right, so there's turkey. There is, say agua-agua. Hi. Dog fowl. All right. There's what again? Guinea fowl. There's sweet sweet. What's in the English word for sweet sweet? Huh? And I say singing bird. Okay. There's parrots. There's different kinds of bird. But the one God used to describe us is none of these ones, though. He said, they that wait upon the Lord shall be like what? They shall mount up what? Wings as eagles. Why did he use eagle? Imagine God said, they that wait upon the Lord, they shall mount up wings like broilers. And when it's finished, we'll just know that we can't survive this world. You know, I started training broilers. I'm so disappointed. One day we just woke up and we had five died. They said, I should come and see it. I said, why? To conduct burial service. I said, throw them away. So when I went there, I saw the reason why they died. I knew something was wrong. So I told them to restructure the house and rearrange it better. Hallelujah to Jesus. So weak. When I'm finding out, they say maybe they couldn't move so much to get to their food. And everybody said maybe the heat. You know, the best bed was heat. I say heat. If you put this local chicken. You know local chicken? You know how their bones can be very strong? That's like ajepako. Then the broilers are ajebo. You know, those days in the bar, we were playing ball. There's one boy that his name is Mahi. You know, Mahi in Hausa is a wizard. We are playing ball with a wizard in the field. His name is Mahi. Yeah, Mahi. Kasamun, Kasamun. Pass the ball, Mahi. Mahi now jam his leg with one boy they call Alexandra. His name in the barrack is called Atiku. The boy's leg bent. When I say bend, I mean it bent. Crack. We now carried him and went to his father's house. As we're dropping and the father saw, he just held all of us. So we are going to gather them, all of us. What happened? So we took him to Maya's place. That it was Maya that jammed. They had to go and restructure. He's a military man now. He's a captain. So the leg is okay. Hallelujah to Jesus. So, you know, those other ones will survive, those local chickens. But the broilers will die. And God did not say they that wait upon the Lord shall be like chickens. He said they shall mount up wings as what? If they say, for instance, bears, they say fishes are to swimming and say bears are to flying, how do we believe it if it is broilers we have? Did you get my question now? If they say fishes are to swimming as bears are to, then one day you are just in your house and they say one of the birds is that your broilers. And you remember that bears are to fly, and how will you believe that? You've never seen it fly before. It's just jumping. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Alright, they are not as effective as other birds. For instance, the eagle is one of the most effective birds. And I think the most effective, that's why God had to use it. He said, you shall mount up wings as eagles. So you see, there are birds that are more effective than other birds. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? That's what I'm trying to say for Christians. So there are Christians that are more effective than other Christians. It doesn't mean you are not a Christian. You will go to heaven. But you may go to heaven with broken leg. You may go to heaven paralyzed. Satan will make it very easy for you to make heaven. Instead of in 20 years' time, you make it in 5 years' time. You really think Satan wants you to just be a sinner? He also wants you to leave the earth. He just wants to leave this earth for me. That's one of his responses, his vision. He wants to rule on the earth. If you are troubling him, he just wants to remove you. He has come but to steal, kill, and what? Destroy. So there are Christians who may never be effective if they don't receive these things God has given us in Christ Jesus. The Bible speaks about the riches of his glorious inheritance embedded within the saints. It's in us. But some people may never touch it. And there are some things we need that came with the Holy Spirit, packaged in the Holy Spirit, that will help us facilitate these things on our inside to becoming a reality. The Holy Spirit didn't just come alone. The moment he came upon the disciples, they all prayed in the Spirit. They all spoke in other tongues. Remember? One of the persons that spoke in other tongues, can you remember it was Mary, the mother of Jesus? I mean, Our Lady of Perpetual Help. She spoke in tongues. Now, I said it in a way you should understand me. You know, there's a way some other those people call the name. That's why I had to say it like that. She's the one that prayed in tongues. She prayed in tongues. You know, I said it one time. People were like, They now opened the Bible and saw that Mary prayed in tongues. The Bible said they were all, not only the 12 were filled, they were all filled with the Spirit. Cloven fire. The manifestation of Spirit came upon their head like cloven fire. And they started speaking in other tongues, including Mary. She preached. They won 3,000 souls. She was part of that evangelism team. So Mary is not some woman playing cool. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? She was full of fire. So I said to them, stand up and be full of fire. They were just looking at me and wondering whether I'm saying rubbish. But I know what I'm telling you. Now, if you're, Jesus said, just go and tarry in Jerusalem. Don't go anywhere. Because you are like broilers right now. Don't go anywhere. Heat will kill you. He said, tarry in Jerusalem until you have been endued with power from on high. At that point, you can go and become my witnesses. Now you are not capacitated. Just be waiting. Meaning that any Christian that is not filled with the Holy Spirit cannot represent Jesus. It's not about making heaven. More like, come down, you go up. You come down, you just came down. One day you go up and meet him. Why did you come down? You think he just pushed you down? Come and grow, have children, and come up and meet me. Ah? Huh? You think that's what God wanted? Or come down, just born children, have a job, work in an NGO, earn a good salary, blah, 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 marry, have four kids, and go for vacation in Dubai, and do this and do that, and die. Then you come by and say, well done, good and faithful servant. One time I was joking with my friend. I said, some people, when they are rich in heaven, you will not go to hell. When you are rich in heaven, they are like, lie down in that place. Lie down. So, look at your vision. See what I wanted you to touch. Out of all these things, the only thing you did is that you married. Lie down there. I hope you get what I'm trying to say. You can't be effective on the earth without the help of the Holy Spirit. There are a lot of things God wants us to touch. He wants us to be capacitated with a lot of potential so that we can go out there and represent him. And we don't know all of these things. Only the Spirit of God knows. The Spirit searches all things here, the deep things of God. Who understand the heart of a man but the spirit of that man? Who understand the Spirit of God, the heart of God but the Spirit of God? And you have received the Spirit who is from what? That you may know the things that God has freely given unto you. Meaning without the Holy Spirit, you will not know everything God has for you. You can't know destiny. You can't fulfill destiny without the help of the Holy Ghost. Yet, Satan is making many Christians blind. And of course, a proof that you are filled with the Holy Spirit is that you pray in other tongues. You must speak with new tongues. Somebody say, the disciples were speaking different languages. They didn't necessarily pray. I said, okay. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? He said, yes. I said, I speak another language. So choose one. If you don't want to pray in tongues, if you think you have been foolish, speak another language. Now, if you cannot do either of them, that simply means you are not filled with the Spirit. And somebody is asking, sir, but how about the language part? It happens by the will of God. There was a need in that time. They didn't understand the language of those other folks. There were different tribes who gathered in Jerusalem. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And they were speaking those diverse languages. You today, majority of the people on the earth speak English. And I believe if you are in that situation, God will make a way. Like the disciples. There was a man who went to China to preach. He was so frustrated. He didn't know what to do when he arrived. He was a missionary. As he arrived, he didn't know what to do. True life story. So he went somewhere and just started praying in tongues. As he was praying in tongues, his eyes were closed. He was crying. He didn't know he was preaching. He prayed, prayed, prayed. And when he opened his eyes, people were at his front, some repenting, money everywhere on the ground. They were just dropping money for him. Everywhere on the ground. And he was asking, he now looked for, confused, trying looking for somebody who knows English. I said, what happened? He said, you preach in our language and you blessed us so much. The people want you to pray for them. True life story. I remember years ago, personally, I was praying with this young man. People always come to my house as a student to learn how to pray. And this young man came to learn how to pray. So while I was praying, he was sleeping. So when I noticed that he was sleeping, I just told him, I said, sleep, let me pray. When I'm done praying, I will sleep, you will pray. So he was laying down, and when I was done, I said, it's your turn to pray. And while he was praying, he was struggling. Suddenly, he got to that point where he was not sleeping again. He started praying, praying, praying. And I was hearing him in literal English. But I was sleeping. Like Paul said, he doesn't even know whether he was in his vision or awake. I think that was my situation. I can't tell if I was truly sleeping or awake. But I knew I was hearing this boy talk to me in English. So I woke up, I said, why are you disturbing me? Why are you telling me the problem you had? He had a serious problem in secondary school. He never told nobody. And it was more like an abuse. And when he told me everything, he started crying. He said, sir, I did not tell you anything like that. I said, no, you were speaking. He said, no, sir, I did not. I was just praying in tongues. I said, oh, God. We now knew it was the Holy Ghost. He knelt down and started crying. And he said everything. He even expounded more and told me how that it has been a problem in his heart that he couldn't share with anybody. Hallelujah to Jesus. Amen. So it can happen specially. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? And Paul, speaking to us in 1 Corinthians 14, I guess, 1 Corinthians 14, 1 Corinthians 12, he said, when I pray in the spirit, in other tongues, my spirit prays. Meaning when you begin to pray in tongues, you are switched into the supernatural. Easily. The easiest way to be switched into the supernatural is by praying in the Holy Ghost. You become more effective. Now, take for instance, let me show a few examples. One of the testimonies we shared not too long of Pastor Ed. He wanted to get some land. I'll use that so that you understand me. I've shared it one or two times. And the person wanted to cheat him over 5 plots of land. And he was going to be the third person they were selling that plot of land for. The third person. But he didn't know. He was ready to pay. So he observed that he was around my area where I live. And he called for me to come and check. He just called, Pastor Sir, please, if you don't mind, come and see what I want to buy. And I came around and shook the seller. And I felt a strange move. And we went, we saw the land. I told him, don't buy it. The man said to us, he asked them if I was a pastor. When they said yes, he said, he's feeling a lot of heat. He's not feeling well since he shook me. And I felt embarrassed because if you shake me, you should be feeling fine, not be feeling heat. So he said, please, Pastor, pray for me. I said, I can't pray for you. I can't pray for you. Why will you even ask if I'm a pastor? Common logic. After you are feeling not well. That means something should be off about this man. And when we made our research, he has sold the land for 2 people already. And Pastor was the third person. What happened was that when we shook him, the thing that was working against people worked against him. Now imagine that we were not praying in the Holy Ghost. That morning before I came to them, I was praying in the spirit in my room. So while I was just done, I was listening to worship song and he called me. So I came under the anointing. Hallelujah to Jesus. But imagine I was not filled with the Holy Ghost. I was probably just a regular Christian. And the most, funniest thing, people may not like me for this, but truly I don't care. The funniest thing is that some people's medium for prayer has no connection with the Holy Ghost, with God Almighty. They didn't even see it in the Bible. Ask someone, why do you pray with whatever you are praying on your hands? And he said, way back in Rome somewhere, a woman appeared to 3 children and gave them that medium for prayer. I said, really? That's the only reason? He said, yes. And he began to break it down for me. That is why they carried scripture and added a few things from scripture to make the prayer, go well. I said, did you see anything like that in the Bible? They said, no. But of course, they saw, you know, the greeting of the angel to Mary and our response. So they say it a lot of times. And one part, I asked him, I said, why do you say pray for us sinners over 50 times? I said, are you a sinner? He said, yeah, we're all sinners saved by grace. I said, okay, you just say saved by grace. Are you saved? He said, yeah, but I'm still a sinner. I said, we are confused here, brother. I think that's the greatest confusion, one of the greatest confusion in the church. People have this false humility. You are scared of saying who God has, what, calling yourself what God has said about you. Who is a sinner in this place? Wave your head. I'm sure there are many people that would have said they are sinners here, if not for what I just said. If anybody be in Christ, they what? Call yourself new creation. You act like it. Not sinner. You are a new creation. Now, start seeing yourself as a new creation. A new creation does not have the potency that makes for a sinner. The Bible says, as a new creation, you are a partaker of his divine and have what? Escape. So see yourself from this pedestal. Don't be seeing yourself as somebody. Say, I am a sinner. I am present continuous. I am a sinner. Present tense, sorry. I am a sinner saved by grace. You said it 3 years ago. You said it 5 years ago. You said it yesterday. Now if you have been saved by grace, you are saved. Paul said, we are accepted in the beloved. Not that every day we sit there and say, accept us in the beloved. We are accepted. So now I'm the accepted in the beloved. This is what really makes religious mind feel so, you know, they feel confused. I said over 50 times. Then a part of the prayer, the truth is that I used to be there. And one time we were having a morning devotion with my parents. And we said a prayer, a part of the prayer that got me. You know, with the revelations I had, I shouted in the bedroom. I didn't know when I shouted, no! I couldn't help it. Now, what was the prayer? Hail, Holy Queen, to whom do we cry? To whom do we cry? That was where I started having a problem. You know, when you have revelation, right? Before you had revelation, you'll be taking everything. But when revelation comes, naturally, there are some things you can't take again. So naturally, every day we say it, it was more like Riaza. We didn't even care about, I can tell you, nobody really was paying attention to what they were saying. But when I had revelation, I started paying attention to the things I was saying. Hey, Holy Queen, to you do we cry? I said, no, we can't be crying to a woman. It's a poor, banished children of Eve. I said, dear Jesus, no! As I shouted and ran into my room, my father followed me with speed of light. He was thinking something has happened to me. Simon, what is wrong with you? I said, Jesus Christ, sir. We have been saying this thing since I was born. God forbid bad thing. No, I started opening John 7:17 for him. He said, are you mad? Are you okay? But my father is somebody that will listen to you. He said, sit down. He said, don't you know that we're all born in Adam, but Adam ate the wrong tree, so now we are all banished. I said, sir, but Jesus has come. He has redeemed us from the curse of the law. He was hung on the tree. And he said, if anybody be in Christ, is a new creation. Then I said, the Bible said in 1 John 4:7, as he is, so are we in this present world. My father now looked at me. That's where the preaching ended. He said, are you like Jesus? You know, knowing all the sins I've committed, I said to him, yes, now I'm born again. I was emphasizing now. He said, no. Answer me straight. Are you like you, Simon? And that's how the sermon ended. But of course, I knew that now. Are you beginning to say? Now, the saddest thing is that some people pray that. They pray that. As we are talking, some of them be watching us online and saying, see that idiot. And they start saying emotional thing. He's preaching against another church. Really? I'm not preaching against another church. I'm preaching against a false doctrine. Because I know what a false doctrine can do to us. You know, Paul speaking to Timothy, he said, the things you have seen in Scripture, the prophecies of Scripture, and the ones that have been said to you. He said, by them war, wage a good war of faith. Imagine what you had on your inside are assumptions of the truth, not the truth. And you are using them to war. Will you ever win? There's a wonderful woman of God that taught us about, she wrote a book called the battlefield of the mind. Imagine you have wrong ideologies in your heart. How do you win in your heart? You can't win. That's why Paul said the most important thing, he was talking to his son Timothy, he said the most important thing for you as a preacher and for your members is sound doctrine. He said in doing that you will save both yourself and those that what hear you. He said, Timothy, do you love your life? He said, guard your life by guarding the things that get into your heart. I don't remember the book of Proverbs says so. He said, guard your heart with all diligence, for from it flows what? The issues of life. We don't have control over the things that, not all the control, because sometimes as we're walking and driving, we're hearing wrong songs. We're interfaced with wrong things. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? You may be walking and you hear one rubbish song playing. You may be walking, you don't want to, your wife don't dress wrongly, your children don't dress wrongly, and you are driving and you see a lady dressing amazingly awful. But that doesn't mean that you should fall. That simply means you may not truly have entire control over the things that come to you as suggestions from the devil. But you have control over the things you receive and allow to flow from your heart. And that's why Jesus said it is not what gets into the heart of a man that makes him what? But the things that what? Leave your heart. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So wrong thoughts are permitted to come, but they are not permitted to stay. As they come, via the knowledge of Christ, we discard them. 2 Corinthians 5 and 10 and 5, right? We discard them. Everything that seems to raise itself above the knowledge of Christ, what do? We discard them. Paul said, even if an angel comes to you with another doctrine, no, he's a devil. You come to us and you say, pray, chaplain, we know you are a demon. Because the Bible speaks to us. Jesus speaking, he said, you have one access to the Father by the Spirit. In fact, look at what Jesus said. They said, pray to the Father on our behalf. He said, I cannot pray to the Father on your behalf. Because the Father himself loves you. The Father himself loves you. You are a son. Just like I'm a son. You know, Jesus is the model. He came as a son to teach us that we are the supposed sons of the living God. Because he's the Father, of course. He came to teach us sonship. So he said, let me teach you people, don't pray. Don't tell me to pray for you. Meaning, don't tell another son to pray for you. You can pray directly to the Father. By one access, the Spirit of God. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? But people, Satan will still make people fight us for these things. It doesn't make you a good preacher that you are neglecting these things, though. God will question you. Are you listening to me? And as I'm saying now, you know, I've had a lot of people change from this. And I give God praise. Like I said in Acts 5, Peter was told to stand before a church, the temple, and preach eternal life. And preach the gospel. Why? God knew they didn't know the gospel. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? No strings attached. Let me try to finish up. One beautiful one. Acts 9:36. Very, very fast. At Joppa, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha. Alright? I was trying to even talk about it already. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds. I think that's why we won't enter here. Yet she died. Next part of scripture. You know why I remember to share what I just shared was because I saw somebody like this in Kaduna way back. Very nice woman. She just died. Nice, nice, wonderful woman. Never missing any service and etc. And yet she died. And it pained everybody in the church. The whole church was crying. But it happened in those days that she became sick and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. I'm sure they wanted to call her a saint or something. That's part of scripture. Because they didn't put her in the grave. And since Lydda was near Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent two men to him, imploring him not to delay in coming to them. That's part of scripture. She was so nice. So they couldn't take it. There are some people that they would have forgotten about. But this woman was too nice. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he had come, they brought him to the upper room. And all the widows stood by him weeping. Ah! I like this. Showing the tunics and the garment which Dorcas had made while she was with them. They couldn't take it. God, this good woman should be alive. See, a lot of faith had risen already. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? A lot of faith had risen already. But they needed a man to come and, you know, enact this. You know? Next part of scripture. Glory to God. But Peter put them all out. Go out. I don't think there was a lot of faith there then. I think there was a lot of tears. Because I'm sure when they were showing, not the doggers, doggers. And Peter was like, all right, I've seen all the clots. You all can go out now. Go out. That's why Jesus, when that lady was there, said, let her father, the mother especially, let her go out. They all went out. He didn't want to hear, my baby, God forbid, oh, hey, well. No, he didn't want to hear that. He said, all of you go out. But Peter put them all out and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. This, you know, this blew my heart. You remember that experience we had in the house one time? I knelt down. I had a situation like this. But I don't like to say the story because it didn't end well. Hallelujah to Jesus. But see, it's so beautiful. Tabitha arise and she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Somebody say, my God. My God, my God. My God, my God. The last one. Acts 5:15. Woo! Glory to God. I know some of you are wondering, what is Pastor actually trying to do? You will see it very soon. So that they brought, okay, let's see from verse 14. And believers were increasingly added to the church, right? To the Lord. Multitude of both men and women. Next part of scripture. So that they brought the sick out to the street and laid them on beds and couches. That at least, Peter was that busy. At least. And they knew what God was doing with Peter. That at least the shadow of Peter passing might fall on some of them. Next part of scripture. Also, a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities of Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all. Meaning, as Peter was passing like this, they just put a shadow. Things were just happening. They were fighting for shadow. James, please put me in the shadow. I'm your brother. As Peter will pass, are you getting scared? These things happen in the Bible, though. They were on the earth. It's not like it's inside the Bible, they were acting the spirit. They were on the earth, they documented these things. Now go back to where we were. Go back to Romans 12 and 3, the old KJV. And I want everybody to read it out loud before we pray. You will catch the revelation immediately. All right. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God had dealt to every man the measure of faith. The same measure of faith Paul had is the same measure of faith you have. The same measure of faith Peter had is the same measure of faith you have. Why have you not seen the same manifestation like Peter? Like Paul yet? Why have you not seen it yet? Because you've not understood that you have received the measure of faith. The measure of faith, not some measure. All of the measure of faith. All of it. All of it. Are you listening to me? Just, you know, what remained is the fact that you should use your faith. You know, the power of scripture said, if you have faith like that of a mustard seed, yours is not that of a mustard seed. You have the measure of faith. You have received the measure of faith. The measure of faith. The measure of faith. You can do all things. The Lord was speaking to me yesterday morning about the law of faith. He said, observe in scripture, anytime Jesus was done with somebody, he would say, your faith has made you whole. Anytime Jesus was done with a miracle, he would say, your faith has... The woman with the issue of blood, she touched him. When she became healed, Jesus said, somebody is healed. And when he saw the woman, he said, your faith. He said, who touched me? My God. Who touched me? Hey, God of mercy. God is asking who touched me. That means faith can just remove something in heaven without God's permission. I don't know that you get what I'm trying to explain to you. Now, he created the law. You're not stealing. It's more like programming. You go use the ATM now to give you money. It was programmed. No police need to be there. You can't steal money from ATM. Just go there. It will give you money. It will not give you 10,000 when you ask for 5,000. Else it's 40. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? For everybody, remember that general that came to Jesus. He said, I say to one, go, they go. I say to one, come. I know you don't need to come. With what I've heard about you, you can speak a word now, and my servant will be made whole. The Bible said, Jesus said, wow, I've not seen such great faith. But you know that great faith was applauded because of knowledge. He understands the authority of the military, and he used that to equate for the authority of Jesus. And Jesus said, I've not seen such great faith like this before. Then he said, go, your faith has made you whole. As he was going to the house, before he entered the house, the servant that was sick welcomed him. They were playing, they were jumping. And I mean, they were perfect. Most times people receive miracles. What would Jesus say? Your faith has made you whole. Your faith has made you whole. Listen now. Jesus has done everything. It is your faith that will make you whole today. I'll tell you the truth. If you are waiting on God, you are wasting your time. Jesus has done everything. It's your faith that will make you whole today. And when I say waiting on God, I don't mean the waiting that scriptures explain. I'm talking about waiting, like sitting down and saying God will do it one day. You have to be partnering with the Holy Spirit if you must see God do it. If you truly are, if you truly want to heal the sick, want to raise the dead, want to see the miracle power of God at work in your life, faith will make you to start praying 2 hours every day. Faith to see that happen. You can't just stand up and say to me, Lord, I want to see this happen. Then you say, oh God, because I believe this, I'm going to start praying. I will start praying 2 hours every day. Every day, 2 hours. People are wondering why. You are pushing something. You want to see the sick healed. There's a personal vision. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to be the best in tech that's ever healed the world in programming. In the name of Jesus. You will not just have time to program very well and learn new things. You also have time to pray. See, the Bible said when the Spirit of God came upon Samson, he took the jaw of a donkey and started killing people. Killing, you know. Now, what I want to say is that when the Spirit of God comes upon you via prayer, when you are praying and the anointing of God of God come upon you, the anointing upon, what happens is that you carry your system and start coding things nobody has ever coded before. I don't know that you are getting what I'm trying to say. It comes upon you and gives the ability to translate this anointing into success in other sectors of life. That you can go back to what you are doing, architecture, and bring out a design nobody has ever done before. By the Spirit upon. But you would have not touched it except by the Spirit of prayer. By talking about Daniel now, for instance. I've done this several times. So intelligent, yet he had time to pray. And we saw the benefit of praying for Daniel. Super intelligent. The guy didn't see prayer like prayer for people who are not civilized. With the kind of influence Daniel had, he could rapport with the king. He was a big guy. He didn't just leave Christianity or anything. He still had time to pray. He would turn towards Jerusalem and pray morning, afternoon, evening. And one time they observed that this guy's ways are not our ways. We'll set him up with the king. Outside that, we know we don't have anything to set Daniel up with the king for. And they plotted Daniel. They said Daniel will not bow. We know he will not compromise his faith. He wouldn't bow. And the king said, Daniel, come here. Because of the people were already expecting so much. He said, Daniel, bow. Daniel refused to bow. Bow. Daniel refused to bow. Bow, Daniel. He refused. He said, put him in the lion's den. I told somebody Daniel knew he wouldn't die. That's what Daniel. There are people who have the Daniel kind of faith. There are those, again, that have the three Hebrew boys kind of faith. That said, if we perish, we perish. Both of them are faith. He said, but we will not bow. If we perish, we what? We perish. Daniel entered, he didn't come out. What if Daniel was full of the wisdom of chemistry and physics, but he was not praying? Will Daniel die? Listen again, the world does not consider all of this rubbish. You see, Satan does not care that you are the best programmer. As long as he cannot use you, you are useless to him. Satan does not care whether you are the best doctor. As long as Satan cannot use you, you are useless to him. Look at how influential Daniel was. Yet, the kingdom, he was like chairman in several kingdoms, doing things for more than one kingdom. Yet, they, in a twinkle of an eye, they wanted to lose that talent. Look at how wicked the world is. But he said something to us, that those that know their God, they shall be what? And they shall what? I was talking to my son, Pastor Benson, today. He's in Maiduguri. A lot of heat. And I told him, I said, nothing will happen to you. He was telling me some conspiracies. He said, nothing. Nothing is going to touch you. I said, let me give you this Gargajiya way of studying the Bible. Open Psalms 23 and be speaking it yourself. As the bullets are coming, be speaking it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down. Say it morning, afternoon, like medicine, like food. Before you eat, the Lord is my shepherd. You will finish there and come out strong with no bullet near you. These are not carnally devised fables. Nothing will touch you. 1,000 may fall by your left hand. 10,000. But they will not come nigh thee. Listen, if you are saying these things before these trials come, it will be easy. You know, I don't like when I see Christians with 11th hour, they are trying to create faith in the 11th hour. Like they say, 11th hour miracle. When you should be exploring faith, you want to create faith. You know what I mean by that? What if every day you wake up and say, I'm born again, full of the Spirit. In the name of Jesus, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You are saying these words. And when the situation come, you overcome. Instead of the situation come now, you are saying, Re-be-be-be-be-be. You want to do the prayer and the declaration that day. As long as the earth remains, seed time and what? Harvest. Will not cease. When you see Christians, when you hear stories that the believer was shot and he did not enter, it is because that believer has been preparing a long time before that day. I tell you, that person has a track record. For God cannot be mocked. What a man sows, he reaps. You know, sometimes when we preach this thing, we are being careful so that people will not think we are disrespecting people that have gone to be with the Lord. Have you heard testimonies of people dying in a sin, in a kind of terrible situation, and people coming out and they are telling you it's their faith? But they don't want to shout because people have died in the same situation. Remember what Jesus said, your faith has what? Your faith has what? I heard a reverend talking about a situation in Jos. He said he told his wife, Bahakabaneza Mutu, meaning this is not how I will die. And he told his wife to give him her hand. They held their hands together. These guys passed them like this and entered the compound. Killed a few people, came out. Look, they did not see anybody. They went. He was standing with his wife. But he told his wife something before they entered. He said, this is not how I will die. You know, they just passed the story passively because people have died. We can't be celebrating that kind of thing. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? But I picked something there. Jesus has done everything, but it is your word, faith. As we are seated there, the person that will touch the greatest finance, it is in his heart, he will say to the woman, said to herself, if I can touch the hem of his garment. She did not come and shout it to the crowd. When she said to herself, she saw the crowd, she was still trying to choke her head. So sick, she was still putting her head. I will touch it. I will. She tried. She touched it. She said, Now, that woman knew possibly that she can't even touch Jesus. She saw the kind of crowd. She saw the protocols. She said, me is the hem. If I can touch the hem of this man's garment, I will be made whole. And when she touched it, she was made whole. Jesus said, something left me. And when it turned, people are like, Master, people have been hitting you. He said, no, not that kind of hit. Somebody touched me in the spirit. I felt virtue leaving me. And the woman said, I am the one. You know one beautiful thing with faith? Is that when it works, you will know you are the only one. Only you and God will know. Only you and God. There's a song Sinatra wrote. He said, no one knows like I know what God has done for me. That's why I praise him the way I do. When Jesus asked that question, only that woman of faith could reply. Only her. She knew she was the one. I'm the one. You know, you can start a faith journey today. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And at the end, when something happened to a city, we will trace everything to you. To a family, we can trace it to you. You will stand up and say, I'm the one. It's not a joke. You can lift your family out of this embargo if you make up your mind today. It starts with a decision. Jesus said, your faith has made you whole. Your faith has made you whole. Your faith has made you whole. I made up my mind years ago. I said I will serve the Lord and I will fulfill everything he has said. I will fulfill with patience. Now, you can't walk in faith except with what? Patience. Let me end with that. You can't walk with faith, because some people won't walk with faith. They just want it to happen sharp, sharp. No. Kenneth Hagin of blessed memory said, faith and patience are like twin brothers. You can't be in faith and not be in patience at the same time. It's not possible. They are the power twins. While faith provides the vision to see a desired outcome, patience provides the endurance to wait for its manifestation. While faith provides the vision to see a desired outcome, patience provides the endurance to wait for its manifestation. Faith is often described as the ability to see a promise. Whereas patience is the ability to wait and seize that promise. To wait and what? Seize that promise. There's another way I saw it, that the hand and arm metaphor. One perspective likens faith to a hand held up against a problem, and patience to the arm that keeps it there until the answer arrives. So it now says at the end, without the arm of patience, the hand of faith eventually drops. It's more like this and this. This cannot function except with this. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And let me end it with this. You can't say, God, in the name of Jesus, I want to walk in the miraculous. I want to walk in your power. And you are just timing power in the realm of the spirit. What you are timing is power. Power. But he's observing that you don't have a good character. He's observing you don't know how to talk to people. He's observing that you are womanizing. He's observing that you love money too much. If he gives you that power, it will make you more stupid. So God will not do it like that. It doesn't work like that in the realm of the spirit. Now see it. For instance, in 2 Peter 1 and 2, let's see very briefly. 2 Peter 1 from verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus and of Jesus our Lord. Next part of scripture. According as his divine power had what? Given to us what? All things that pertains unto what? How did he give us? Through the knowledge of him that has called us unto glory and virtue. Now, we have received everything we need for life and godliness through the knowledge of Christ. In other words, when you understand Christ, you have everything that you ever need for life and godliness. So therefore, if you pursue Christ, everything you need to be capacitated and qualified will work in you automatically and qualify you for the blessing. Because according to the scriptures, we are accepted in the blood, in the beloved, sorry. Another part of scripture said, we've been blessed with every spiritual and physical blessing, heavenly blessing, where? In Christ Jesus. So Christ is the qualification. So when you desire to understand Christ and pursue the manifestation of Christ in your life, you stand capacitated. That's what the scripture meant for when it says, seek first kingdom and its righteousness. Then it says, every other thing will be eventually added to you, because as long as you are seeking Christ, you are getting rightly capacitated. And by default, it will shock you that before you pray for things, they will start coming, because you are qualified. Now you are not seeking to be humble, you are humble because you were seeking Christ. It's in Christ that you become complete, not lacking anything. But when you are looking for a partition part of Christ, you know, you say, for instance, like I always tell people, you cannot desire one side of knowledge. You desire Christ. If you say, okay, God has called me into healing ministry, it is possible to work in healing ministry and end up as a thief for a pastor. That is why the prophetic has been infiltrated by Satan over the years. Because most prophets, when they begin to prophesy, they neglect the place of the word of God. You know, the prophetic is so beautiful that when you get it and get it and get it, it gets you too excited. And they don't tag themselves as prophetic ministers and ministries. And all of a sudden they are surprised that even though they are giving word of knowledge, there's a desire for immorality. Because what can solve that problem is not the prophetic. What can solve that problem is the knowledge of the person of the Christos. Because it is in him that you are qualified and have received everything you need for what? Life and what? Godliness. So what am I trying to say? You want to be as powerful as Paul, as Peter, and even do better? Your author must be Jesus, and the finishing line must be what? Jesus. Because in him you are complete, not lacking what? Anything. Are you listening to me right now? Glory to God forevermore. But if your mind is on... Now imagine you wake up in the morning. You are a son of the living God. Jesus has done everything. Instead of just declaring your place in Christ and speaking it every day and enough, you wake up one morning and say, I heard in news, somebody say he wants to kill my father. In the name of Jesus, every arrow against my father, every arrow against my life. You are not praying rightly. You are praying wrongly. But imagine you wake up and say, in the name of Jesus, I've been bought with a price. My life is hidden with Christ in God. I'm seated far above principalities and powers. I'm the blood on the doorpost of my family. Satan does not need to ask any question. When he sees the blood, he gets to the next door. In the name of Jesus, we are mightily protected. You are fighting. And it's a good fight. It's called the fight of faith. And that fight gives, make sure the promise is on your hands. But the wrong fight is that you are channeling the energy that you are supposed to use to receive God's word for a manifestation to the devil. It's a wrong fight. You devil, I scatter you. Why are you scattering him? He has been scattered. Use that energy to enforce, to speak to your heart enough that Satan has been scattered. Listen, Satan, die, die, die. Satan, you dead, you dead, you dead. This second one is greater than the first one. Because as I'm saying the second one, his power, anything he has against me is getting loose. He does not have anything against me. When I read scriptures that says, if God be for you, who can be against you? Then I find it difficult to say anything against me. There is nothing against me. God is for me. Not enough people understand this. So they'll mock you. But fret not. Are you listening to me? You can't imagine Satan around you. It's not in your thought. He said, I will do what I hear you say and think. My thinking is the word of God. My speaking is the word of God. Derek Prince says, many years ago, I read his book, Lucifer Exposed. He said something beautiful. He said, we defeated the devil. You know, as the Bible said in the book of Revelation. He said, we have defeated the devil via the blood, by the blood of the Lamb, through the words of our testimony. In other words, what the word blood has done, if you don't see it, you will not see it into manifestation. You will not see it in manifestation. Let the redeemer of the Lord says, let them say it. If God have done it and you don't see it, you will not see it. Very important. You have to declare what the Lord has done. If you have truly been redeemed by the blood, speak it. It said, with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with his mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you believe unto righteousness and don't speak it, you will not see the salvation of the Lord. It is when you speak, you see. You wake up in the morning and say, my day is blessed. In the name of Jesus, I'm highly favored. I stand before kings and mighty men and I'm favored. I'm telling you what these guys go and do in the underworld. I was talking to a real estate guy. He said, when I started taking my work with God serious, was when I observed what is happening. I heard these guys go and meet Babalawos. And when they talk to people, we will talk to them about the same land. Other people will talk to them about the same. They will go and buy. And after 1 week, they are regretting. He said, when I saw that, I said, I will take my God serious. I told him, brother, don't just take your God. Pray in tongues. I'm telling you how to destabilize all of them. Pray in tongues. Are you listening to me? That you are talking to somebody about land. The same land, though, he will not buy from you. Another person will come and show him the land, he will buy. What do you think is happening? And later he will be complaining to you that I don't like that land. I don't know why I haven't bought it. There was a spiritual power. That person had a spiritual edge. But you were just a normal Christian who drink and smoke sometimes, who womanize sometimes, and you are into real estate. No wonder all your life now is just to make sure that you put food on your table. When people are like that, they don't even come to church anymore. Everything now is to make money. But I tell you, if you have a walk with God, I'm telling you, you know, I was praying today, and I don't know if I shared with my wife. I was telling her, I said, you see this young man they call Jerome, Pastor Rome. I was telling her, I said, the way this guy will blow in this real estate thing will shock everybody. He's in Abuja. He went to Silopetil. I told her, I said, the way this guy will blow in this thing. Because he has time. He's not here. I'm using him to teach. He has time for the things of God. Not just time for church. He has time for myself. I don't think I've drilled anybody like I've drilled him in this church. And he has time for his department. And yet he's doing business. I said to her, I said, these are the kind of people God wants to give money. It will be like a dream when it begins to come into manifestation. And of course, you see the effort of faith every day. Every day. You are seeing bold steps of faith. Bold step of faith. There's a part in this Benue now, around Lower Benue, welfare quarters. One time, somebody wanted me to buy a land. They just came to me, Pastor, there's a land I want you to buy. I heard you were looking for. I said, but they still were disturbing me. I said, okay, I know somebody that used to sell land for people. I brought him once. He sold the land. Sold another one. Now there's a crowd of people. Anytime I finish training, they are coming to my car. Sir, we have land we want to sell. I just shared his number for all of them. Now he's the one they call there for land. Any property, they'll just call him there. Why? Bold step of faith, making progress every day. Then praying in the spirit. One day was complaining about something. I said, pray in tongues 2 hours every day. I did not hear the finishing line of the problem. I said, just be praying. You hear what I said? Pray in tongues 2 hours every day. See, if you are always complaining, you don't know how to pray. There are some things we don't know how to pray as we ought to. Even pastors don't know the prayer point. That your problem is too much. Go and look up. Don't make us turn into hypocrites. We have taught you how to pray in tongues. You are not telling us, come on. You are telling us the problem. Why did we teach you about praying in tongues? If we know the answers, we would have not taught you now. We would have said, leave it, we'll be doing it for you. We don't know how to pray as we ought to pray. But the Spirit helped our infirmity with what? Groanings. This is our advantage. Liba kapaya. You know who you are. You use 2 hours praying in tongues. You dress with your suit and bow tie. Then you go and talk to the man. Don't think that you are just a corporate man, civilized man that just went. You went to school and you are seated in heavenly places. You are speaking from there. People will start buying land. Are you forgetting what I'm trying to say? When they come with their small charm, you are speaking from the blood. The sprinkling of the blood. The Bible says we have a high priest that liveth eternally, making sacrifice for us. Making prayers for us. The Bible says he's a high priest. He's a priest over our confessions. We are saying the right thing, is actualizing it. As we are praying, he's making sure that everything we are praying is coming to pass. This is how you win for life, oh. That you pray like something, the anointing comes upon you and translates into fashion design. People have been working there for several years. Like Peter, you give God small time. You say, God, take my time. Take this time. Take my time. Take my time. And time is money. That's very prophetic. Jesus wanted to preach. He borrowed the ship. He borrowed the canoe of Peter. Peter said, use it, sir. I've heard about you. Use it. He used it. Took Peter's time. Of course, took Peter's time that he should have money. While others were fishing, Peter's boat was used for preaching. And when he was done, he was ready to go. Peter said, thank you, sir. Not minding the reward. And Jesus said, no, that's not how I do things. When I take your time, when I use your time, are you listening to me? I mean, when you come to church every Tuesday, Sundays, and Fridays, when I use your time like this, I reward that time. Cast your nets. He says, I've been toiling money tonight. Say, cast your net, Peter. When Peter casted his net, he had a boat sinking, a net tearing harvest. It shook him. The same thing Peter was doing for years. The whole day, he got nothing. But because of his devotion to the Lord, for just a few minutes, few hours, see what he got. He had an harvest that shook the economy of that city. It changed the economy of that city. What Peter had as harvest, and listen, he did not spend time to eat it. He left everything. He said, let me follow the source. That's how Peter started following Jesus. Are you listening to me? Now, what I'm trying to say is that same business you have been doing. It was 5 o'clock, you ran to church. I tell you, when you go back with this consciousness, are you here this evening? When you go back, don't never consider yourself to be a failure. He said, I've not called the seed of Jacob to serve me in vain. You can't serve God in vain. Are you listening to me tonight? You must be expectant. You know, the problem with some Christians is that they are not expectant. They are just serving God and thinking that it's just normal. Let me be serving him. Nothing happens. He has said in his word that you can't serve him in vain. Say, Lord, because I serve you, my business is making progress. Because I have time for you, my business is making progress. In the name of Jesus. My business will not suffer. In the name of Jesus. And it will not suffer. Are you listening to me? I tell you, it's time to start showing the difference. And it's your faith that will make you whole. You have seen it in the world. You have to now be in faith. You have to now act in faith. You go home and pray these crazy prayers. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I'm making progress. In the name of Jesus. In the name of... You speak it out. What the blood has done. Speak it out boldly. As the spirit is dead without a body, so is faith without works. You must act in faith. Tomorrow morning, dust yourself and go back to that your shop. Stop complaining. Go and look at it. Say, I've been giving, I've been doing this, and the shop is not making progress. You think a worker can stop the success of your shop? You think a sales girl can stop your shop? No. They are not bigger than the promises. The word of God is bigger than any limitation. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You go back and say, something is wrong somewhere. I'm going to arrange it. In the name of Jesus. If I was expecting it like this, it must be like that, because the expectation of the righteous cannot be cut short. Go back to that shop. Look at it again. The Lord will show you what to do since you are in faith. And the book of James, the Bible used Abraham to explain the works of faith. He had faith and he took Isaac and was going to sacrifice. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? He had faith. He said, let's go. He had faith. And suddenly a ram came out. Glory to God forevermore. Glory to God forevermore. A lot of time when you are acting in faith, it's as if you are giving your best. You are giving your all. But I tell you, God does not want that sacrifice. That sacrifice you are actually going to give him, he does not really want it. At the peak of trying to show, are you beginning to try and say, give that sacrifice, he will prove to you like Abraham that he doesn't even need that sacrifice. He actually never needed the blood of Isaac. He wanted to truly understand this Abraham. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? In his heart, he has killed Isaac. Glory to God forevermore. He said, Abraham, now I know you fear me. You want to make first class students, go back and read your books. It's so simple. Read while others are playing. Let the vision be burning in your heart. You are reading. You want to become outstanding as a singer, go home and practice. Go and hear songs of people that became outstanding. You are singing some songs today. They have not died. Go and watch their full album. You will see something that everybody have not seen that will help you today in your music career. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Go and see the style of how they write their songs. Minister with conviction. Minister with boldness. You want things to change in your life? Go back and rearrange yourself. Go back. I'm an architect. Things are not working, Pastor. Blah, 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 blah. Go back. Go and create a card for yourself. Have a card. Put your phone number there. Start acting big. Start acting big. In the name of Jesus, projects are coming to me. Projects are coming to me in the name of Jesus. They give you a small project. Do it like it's a big one. When you are done designing, the person will tell another person. Or they will ask, who did this one? That's how they'll be connecting you. Now you people get on trying to explain to you. That's what it means for to activate. Not just I believe and I receive. Your actions too. Your actions too. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah to Jesus. You see, I will not dress shabby in the name of Jesus. Because I always have. I'm not trying to look like a beggar. I always have. In the name of Jesus. I refuse to beg. Faith sometimes is refusing to borrow. You are in faith so much, the devil is saying borrow. I tell you, it's the devil. Borrow the 2K. Say, I refuse to borrow. I refuse. The Bible says the righteous have never begged for bread. I will not be the first to beg. God is my source. You sleep, you wake up. The people that you will hear giving testimonies like this, that I didn't have, and suddenly God now told somebody to send me 100,000. They were acting in faith. You know why you don't get those testimony? Anytime you are in lack, you want to borrow. Anytime you are in lack, your first option is borrow. God is my source, but you want to borrow. Lastly, sometimes you claim faith. God puts you in tough situations. Not that he brought it to, he allows you in the tough situation. You know something I saw prophetically in scripture about that guy that was epileptic, that the disciples reported, the father of the child reported to Jesus that the disciples could not heal. The Bible says when Jesus laid hands on the guy, he fell down and started shaking profusely. If you were that preacher instead of Jesus, you would be scared. Small hand I laid on this guy. Why is he shaking like he wants to die? You may say, I beg you. Let's hold him up. When I saw it, something ministered to me. I believe it was the Holy Ghost. He said, anytime it's about to be a miracle in your life, Satan would give his best shots. He would try to make you look confused and stupid. Jesus laid hands on that guy. The guy started shaking on the ground. That's so funny. And he was epileptic. He should have looked as if the epilepsy is becoming more now. That the hand came upon him. Are you forget what I'm trying to say? Now that somebody told you it's your season for a breakthrough, see the way you are lucky. You have never lacked before in your life like this. They say it's your season of the flight. It's as if they opened the gates of hell for you. It's my season of flight. Hey, yeah. Are you sure this word is for us this year? I don't know what is happening to me. The things I've wrote on the, I thought they would have happened. I thought they would have happened by now. By March, some people wrote by March. In fact, they started from January, God by January, by February. Now they are saying by March. Faith and patience. A lot of times, not because God is delaying, you are not prepared. You know, people say, put your eyes on the price. The price for scripture, in the scripture, is not that thing you are praying about. It is Jesus. Let your eyes, you want that thing, but your eyes should be upon Jesus. Because he said, will I not through Jesus freely give you all things? Who he wants to see at work in your life for a qualification to all things is Jesus Christ. If he sees you like Jesus Christ, you qualify for the car. If he sees you like Jesus Christ, you qualify for that house. If he sees you like Jesus Christ, you qualify for a bigger business. If he sees you like Jesus Christ, you qualify for the contract. But as long as you are not like Jesus, you the prosperity of a fool will destroy him up there. Are you listening to me tonight? So go back today and be praying in tongues. Your vision should be Jesus. That's why Paul said, I pray in tongues more than ye all. Jesus Christ, listen, I'm not being proud. I can't die of a wizard. I can't die of a witch. This is not pride. Listen, no witch can come 1 mile close to me. It's not pride. You know, there was a season in my life that I was having demonic attacks. Not now and anymore. It can happen. Years ago, a long time ago, I remember I had a demonic attack. I was playing football. I had a demonic attack. My left ear blocked. The thing just came. It literally blocked. So I left the field. I went to the side. I sat down. It popped open again. I'm telling you a true life story. And I said to myself, this will never happen again in my life. I went back home, read scriptures more, prayed in tongues. I tell you, it will never happen again. I said, now in the name of Jesus, I'm seated far above the principal. Imagine I didn't know the word of the Lord. I would have been preaching to you with one of my ear blocked, you know. Are you hearing me tonight? Go back home. Hold your wife. Say, wife. She's your husband. We are changing levels today. In the name of Jesus. I did not say boyfriend, girlfriend. I say wife, husband. Maybe your change of level for boyfriend and girlfriend is that you will break up, self. Maybe that man is the reason you are not making progress. Libro capacatelia. Ju vlu vlu vlu. Are you here tonight? Some of you need to go back home. I'm hearing by the Spirit and delete some worldly songs. Go back home. Just go back home and be serious with your life. Go and be on fire. Go back home. Go back home and block that boy's number. You are being sweet on each other unnecessarily. When you hear all these fiery things, you go water it down with, you look cute. Your lips are lipsing. And he's not your husband. She's not your wife. Are you listening to me? Go back home and remove every picture of lack around you. Oh, glory to God. Go back. Some of you need to go back home and change your set of pots. Just go and say, that one that is so black, you inherited it from your grandmother. You need to start doing things around you that will suggest prosperity. Do you get what I'm trying to explain to you? Some of you need to go back home and change your curtain. Just go back home and change something. Just make sure the things are... Go back home and spend money on a blazers. Just look good. is a sign of faith, an act of faith. Go back home and say, in the name of Jesus, I shall never borrow. Some of you need to go back home and say, I will not call my elder brother for money again. That one is hard. It's an act of faith. I will walk. I will trust God for my finances. In the name, and Lord, if you want to use my elder brother, no problem, but I will not call him. But anytime he calls, no problem. Do you get what I'm trying to explain to you? Go back home. In fact, some of you need to go back home and set a date for that wedding. I'm talking about men, not women. Set a date. Set a date. Women, allow men to set it for you. Set a date. In the name of Jesus. Say, Pastor, finances is my problem. I don't know. The Lord told me years ago to stop saying that rubbish. Marriage has not reduced my money. It has rather increased it. The Lord told me, he said, if I was giving you 100,000, now that you are three, I'll give you 300,000. If I was giving you 1 million, now I'll give you 3 million. I know you are three, you are not one. But if a young man always says these things like this, when I was not married, I used to have money. But now that you will never have money. You have destroyed yourself by your words. I can never lack in my life. I'll have another child. We're going to be five. And now it's going to be increased to 5 billion. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? We're going to be five. Two girls, one boy. Or two boys, one girl. Kind of boys, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You know, one time I told my wife, if this boy behaves like me, I'm not sure I'll stay in this house. What if I have two of them? I'm in trouble. Because I know myself. Hallelujah to Jesus. Shout glory. Go back home. I'm sure some of you riches and honor. He has received all the riches for our sakes. And now we are in him. God said in his word, the gold, the silver, the cattle above a thousand is. Anywhere God enters, if God comes to your life in terms of finances now, the signature is the overflow. Remember Jacob, the overflow. Remember the 5,000, the overflow. How about your life? The overflow. The overflow. This season of your life is so tough. Get excited. The first generation of Christians, he said, pray not to enter temptation. You are not qualified. Hide at the top of Jerusalem. Don't enter. Don't go anywhere. Don't confront Goliath. But the second generation of Christians, he said, count it all joy. Count it all joy. Count it all joy. There is no money in your house. You know, I've done it several times. So I'm driving sometimes. I'll look for one old Igbo music. My wife has not heard me before. You see me just doing a rare in my car. I'll be hitting my car. I'll be going. I like it when the devil is bringing tough situations. Because I know it is written. It is written. Many are the affliction of the righteous. In the Old Testament, it says, but the Lord shall deliver them. That's the Old Testament. In the New Testament, we have been delivered. So now I'm seeing the affliction, but it has been written that I have been what? So I know the end. I will be the one to remain. Satan is going. He's just passing by. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. You look at situations. In the name of Jesus. Years ago, I remember Bishop Erepo saying a story. He said his wife was having several miscarriages. And one time he came back home, and while he sat down, the wife brought food to him and said, I lost the baby. He said, not possible! Serve my food. And that was the last season in his life that she had that miscarriage again. He said, not possible. He did not say, eat your man. He said, serve my food. And he ate, went into his chambers. And spoke certain words. Are you listening to me? There was a situation again. They gave up. The doctor gave up on his wife. He told the doctor to leave the room. He locked himself with the wife. He prayed. And he left and told the people it was done. 2-3 days later, they say she was back. Nothing was wrong with her again. No trace of anything in her body. Are you listening to me? I'm sharing the faith of this great man so that you know that they went through things. Pastor Chris had a child that could not walk. For 5 years, she couldn't walk. Over thereabouts, she was still crawling. Her legs, they said the bones there are very weak. The bones cannot stand. And if she tries to stand, it will break. And pastor did not cry. Are you listening to me? He left the situation for a while. He left it for a while. One day, he said, why is she not working? He just came to his, he said, bring her here. It's becoming shameful. He held her legs in the neck and he prayed in tongues for a long time and he kept her. He said the next morning he observed she was playing and she took some steps. He didn't care whatever he was doing. He said, take the step again. She walked again. She walked his second daughter and she started walking perfectly. It happened though. I'll tell you my story one day. Don't worry. It's not the right time. I know the man of God is in Abuja. His nickname is called Pose. He carried his daughter. They diagnosed the daughter, I think cancer or something. I can't remember. But she's supposed to die very soon. That's what the doctor said. And the wife told him and they were crying. Everybody was crying. He came back from work or something. He just carried the daughter and put on his shoulder. For 3 days, they say he was praying in tongues. He couldn't rest his soul. When he was done for almost the third day, they say he was walking. Walking, he closed his eye, just walking. As he dropped the daughter, he said they should go and do tests. They went and did the test. No trace. No one trace. It's when we say marry people that know the Lord, this is what we are talking about. That when they check everywhere, they've tried every other means, they see that it's not working. They'll say, there's something we learned. There's something we learned. There's something we learned. Are you listening to me? Imagine Joseph was not born again. Jesus would have not been born. God could speak to him because he feared the Lord. He said, don't pursue Mary. Nobody slept with her. She was conceived of the Holy Spirit. He heard the Lord because he feared the Lord. He was born again. Are you listening to me, people of God? You can't afford to miss out in the will of God. Imagine what is happening in the world. Is that what you call success? Imagine the money. It's all vainglory. Okay, now you have Esther. You have all the money you are dreaming about. You are a billionaire. And now what? You have the husband, you have the children. Okay. What then? But imagine we're reading about Esther when she's like 65. And we're saying Esther changed the world upside down. She turned the world. Over 18,000 people have received Jesus because of Esther. 70,000 have finished their schools, their doctors, their pastors because of Esther. What a life she has lived. We're not saying she's dying. We're just talking about her impact at 65. But you see what Satan is doing at this point of your life. See the kind of trials he's passing you through. They are telling you are a prophetess. You are suffering with addiction. They are telling you are a prophet, an apostle. You are suffering. It will not make you see yourself less. You are not less. I have come to announce to you. Years ago, before we pray, when we started following this God, they told us that all our problems will be solved. They say all our sins will stop immediately. I was so excited. So when we started following this God, I observed that there were certain things I couldn't stop. And I spoke to my spiritual father. He told me, stay with the word and keep on praying. But it was becoming even worse. One day I was listening to a sermon, more like a revivalist. He was setting us on fire. I said, no, I'm tired of being on fire for a while and stopping. And I carried my keyboard. I will never forget. I think those days. I started playing. I want to know you. As I was singing the song, a bright light appeared in my front. And said, the Christos. I will never forget in my life. I said, the Christ. What is the Christ? I've been saying Jesus the Christ. He said, go and understand the Christ. When I started understanding this revelation, I remember the first time I thought on the Christ, it was with my choir. As I was teaching, a light still appeared. That same light in my room appeared in the meeting. Pew, pew, pew. People started running away. This is literal. Literal light. People started running away. What is happening? I remember again, you know, some people ran outside. Some, even me, I will not lie to you. I ran away because I'd never seen anything like that in my life. I remember again, I sat in my room, we're praying, just praying and blessing the Lord. And I was about to sleep. And the Lord stirred a word in my heart. He said, always see yourself like Christ. This was not really I heard it literally for the first time. Always see yourself like Christ. As if they put me in deep, in a cooler. That is very, cold, you know, deep freezer. My whole body was cold. He says, always see yourself like Christ. When I understood that, that was when my life changed. And I tell you, I can't tell you the number of people that have converted, not just from as Christians, converted from dirtiness in the flesh into the glory. We've been counting until today. Are you listening to me tonight? So sometimes you can be a Christian. Satan will just put one embargo in your life just to limit you. We almost give up. I was telling some pastors, I said, see, you people are lucky. See how you are receiving this revelation. In our days, we were crawling and telling God, we'll serve you. No matter what, we'll serve. We crawl till we cast these revelations. We suffered in the flesh. Because we were trying, you know, there was still a desire to want to live like the world. Until we were able to capture this revelation we are giving to you people free today. But one thing is certain, if you allow Satan to prevail because of the mistakes, because of your trials and temptation, you will remain in this level forever. Are you listening to me? An effectual door has been opened. There are many adversaries, not one. You have been called to sing, you have been called to preach. He will not stop there. He will try you. He will try you. And some people may fall to the point they will see themselves in a club one day. I heard of Todd White. Is it Todd White or something? Left his spiritual father, went back to club. The spiritual father went to club and got him back. He preached the gospel, converted nations. Healed a lot of sick people. I've not seen somebody that heals sick. There are just few people I've seen with that kind of anointing, healing anointing. With tattoos all over his body. Because when he went back to the world, he started living anyhow. And what deceived him? He told his spiritual father, I feel more anointed than you. And he left. The spiritual father said no word. Brought him back. Serve the Lord so graciously. Hallelujah to Jesus. Don't give up on yourself. Don't give up on yourself. Tell somebody, don't give up on yourself. You are who God says you are. Bought with a price. God's own special purchased possession. Born again. Full of the Holy Spirit. Before God formed you in your mom's womb, He has known you and has given you a destiny. Shout glory. Paul said, Lord, take this infirmity from me. Three times the Lord told him, he said, my strength is perfect in weakness. He said, for my grace is sufficient. God's grace is sufficient. You are not weak. See, there is strength on your inside. Satan is just suggesting that you are weak. Now let the weak say. Let the poor say. You are not weak. You are not poor. He's trying to create situations and trials because of the seed of the word. Remember, it is seed of the word. Cultivate it until it grows into manifestation. He wants you to not believe those things in your heart. No. You are strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Paul speaking to Timothy, he said, Timothy, fret not. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Say, I'm strong. I can do all things. Bow your heads and just pray in the Spirit everywhere. Bow your heads. Pray in the Spirit. We've come to the end. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. I can hear you. I can hear you. I can hear you. Irabagadosa. And because God is the greatest power.
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's Word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays, first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.